WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. Also, this is not a repeat. This is live. I know we've been live for the third time in 3 days, but here we are. We're back to talk NXT TakeOver. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you would like to subscribe to the channel for free using Twitch Gaming, or I'm sorry, Prime Gaming, all you gotta do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. I did better when I was drunk last night. Shit! And you can subscribe to the channel for free for 30 days. And if you want to subscribe, like, follow, do all those things, you can also hit that button down below. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
It's okay if you missed last night's show, because it was a very spur-of-the-moment thing, and you can catch the archive available at rockradioshow.com. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and beyond.
I legit had to make a pick for SummerSlam tomorrow because of the Bray Braun stuff, and they did a lot of Bray Braun stuff. And I wanted to go on the internet and scream about it, and so Rock let me go on the internet and scream about it.
I did. I was very.
It's on the VODs, I think. If you want to go listen to
it's on the VODs. It's on the podcast. You know, all that fun stuff. Also, at the podcast, you can check out the Rock Extra Reviews PGA Tour 2K21 now available.
Yep, go check it out. Secret content. Secret content. There's more to come.
So this would be technically our fourth show.
Content, y'all. We're producing the thing, but. We're not alone. It's a takeover, which means we have a very, very special guest.
Hailing from the Jelly Bean Goo Pit, the crown chasing, but always falling and falling. The ultimate fall guy, the assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern, Kane Kittens.
I am not Tim the Tap Man. What the fuck? Fuck!
But do you have a crown yet?
Rock, do you have a crown?
No, but I haven't played in 5 days.
Neither have I! The last time I played was together!
I've been helping college students move.
It's okay.
He's brave.
But you didn't like having a brand new intro? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he hooked you up, man.
Fall Guys.
Yeah. You know what? It's always great. Get a new intro. Get a backhand with it.
That's what we do here?
Yeah, I know. It's been, what, 8 years now? I should have known better.
You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Linsword, at Kane Kittens, if you would like to comment about tonight's show. We're here to talk all things NXT TakeOver 30, which took place live on the WWE Network tonight from the Full Sail University.
Full Sail.
Yeah.
And see, not the PC, not the Amway Center. Oh, no. From Full Sail.
From Full Sail University, yeah.
Which, honestly, going from the Amway to Full Sail, completely different experience. It's like, where are the lights? Oh, right. This has a live audience. Right. Got it.
But we had flames and lots of flames.
We did have lots and lots of flames. They brought the fireboxes over. And, well, they kind of brought the fire on the pre-show. Kind of didn't bring the fire, but they did. It was a good opening contest where you had Breezango taking on Lorcan and Birch and Legado del Fantasma for the number one contendership for the tag titles.
So since it was the 30th pre-show, I was like, okay. They're going to get less than 10 minutes. They're going to fight. They're going to have a pretty good match. And that's what we got.
Yeah.
Breezango came in serious.
Yeah, you didn't have any of the pre-match skits. You had just them coming out, doing their regular intro, and getting ready to kick ass and take names. I guess that's what happens when one of you almost gets abducted by Mexican ninjas.
I mean, yeah. But it was good that they came in strong and stuff. And Breezango got the victory on this night, and they're the number one contenders.
Which is surprising, but it's a good surprise. It's a nice one, because good lord, don't they deserve it.
I called that one.
Well, and you called it because you took the tiebreaker.
But I called it.
But the thing was, we talked about it on Thursday with the preview. You know, Breezango has faced Imperium before, and, you know, they did the little skip beforehand, but what happens if they were to face them serious? Now we kind of get to see that, hopefully.
Hunter.
We get to see, you know, if two guys who have been around for a little while take on the Ring General's lieutenants, and, you know, should be a hell of a match.
Hunter spoke about them basically saying, when they're serious, they're great.
Even when they're not serious, they're great. But yeah, I mean, they've always been...
Great in different ways.
Yeah, they've always kind of been this throwaway comedy act. They've never really given them the chance to be serious and shine. And so if they're going to do that here, I'm open to seeing that because they're both extremely talented individuals. Tyler Breeze and Fandango got something over on their own, not as a tag team, without really trying, or they did try, I should say. There was a lot of trying, but it's like, feasibly, what they both did shouldn't have worked, and it did. They got it over, and then it kind of got kiboshed or left behind on the main roster, and so they formed the tag team, which was a joke, but they got it over. And then through a series of injuries and everything else, they kind of got relegated down to NXT, where they've been, and they've had a much more serious vibe to them, which I really like. They still do the skits, they still have fun, but they're getting to wrestle more. Mm-hmm. So I'm here for that.
Breeze came back to NXT so he could get off the road because he now is a trainer with his own school, so it made the most sense. Also, it was good to see that they found Walter.
Yeah,
they did find Walter.
In the pre-match promo, Walter is alive. We can confirm it.
Walter is alive, and we can confirm, because they announced it on the main show, NXT UK is returning September 17th to the WWE Network. It's going to be out of the BT Sports studios in the UK.
They found the prodigal children. They rounded them up.
I'm sure they're all so happy. They're so, so happy to be back. Because, like, they started the promo and there's Walter and it's like, oh my god, there he is! They found him! And then they show everybody else, like, at their houses or wherever they went somewhere cool to film. And it's like, oh, hey, look, they found their roster. They're all there. The only one I didn't see was Trent Seven.
I liked Valkyrie's segment when she's out in the field.
Yeah.
Somehow they got the stuff to blow up. It was just like, ooh, that's nice.
I feel like they went and filmed with some people and then some people just sent in cell phone videos.
Piper.
Yeah. Or some people, like, actually made effort into their video and, like, put it together and sent it in. That could be the other side of it, is some people, they're like, okay, we need you to film something for a promo package, basically saying that, you know, we're bringing UK back, so just take your cell phone out and just film a real quick thing and some people were like, oh no, we can improve on that. I can have pyro. And that's exactly what happened.
But we get our forgotten brand back. It'll be so nice.
Yay.
Yay, more wrestling.
Something to watch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've missed UK.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean we can hold a special draft and we can draft UK wrestlers?
No.
Does that mean we get Tony back?
Yes, that does mean we get Tony back.
Yes!
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see if she wants to wrestle. Like, I think they're having the same guidelines as what the US roster is, which is if you have concerns about COVID, you don't have to wrestle. But I think they're kind of expecting everybody to sort of come back to work.
Hey, if I can get Tony and Valkyrie, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. That's all I need.
If she wants to go back to UK, because maybe she's just waiting to come back here.
Maybe she's part of a certain group. We don't know.
We don't.
Pete Dunne could be a part of it, too. We don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. So moving on, the show officially opened, with a rather hard-hitting contest, which
almost
we all knew.
Okay, backstory. Brent thought he had it all right down to, you know, in the match order, and then we hear the first match is what?
Finn Balor versus Timothy Thatcher.
Brent, what was your first match?
Okay, listen. I had Timothy Thatcher as match two, okay?
But that's...
What did you have as one?
It would be a nice transition.
What did you have as one?
I wanted a good hot start of the North American title ladder match as number one. I thought, set the pace. But this is still a really good first match to put on. I am not going to knock that.
This was fantastic. I think my favorite part in this entire match, and it's kind of towards the end, is Finn's knee gets messed up, in quotations messed up, in the match. And there's this moment between Thatcher and Finn where at the exact same time, they both realize his knee is messed up. And Finn's eyes get about six times as wide as they're supposed to, and he starts going, no, 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 no. And he like starts backing up from Thatcher because Thatcher just charges him to get hold of the knee, and he gets it because he's like, oh, wait, I can play with that more now. Like, that was so good.
Thatcher's eyes lit up too, and I was like, oh, oh. It's like
the setup was Finn missed the coup de grace, or Thatcher rolled out of the way, he hit the ground, and yeah, he's just holding that foot for a second, and all of a sudden he stops. Thatcher's eyes get big, Balor's eyes get big, and like Lindsay said, it's just one of those no,
stay away,
that's a bad Thatcher.
Like, Finn's like kicking at him with his good leg and everything. It was just this really great. It's not meant to be comedic, but it's an absolutely great comedic moment.
At that point in time, Finn's going, what was the safe word? What was the safe word? What was the safe word?
There is no safe word in this match. None. Because some of those chops, too. Ow! That'd be my gesture.
They went hard. All day, all night.
No, that's the other show that was on tonight, Rock.
Sorry.
Sorry.
but the thing is, they went at it, and okay, so what people have to realize what this matchup was we know how Finn Balor works. We know his style, we know his movement, and he's very fast, and he does all these different things. But he went in there, and he wrestled Timothy Thatcher's hard-hitting, ground-based style. He did arm bars, he did submission work. He did everything you would expect from a Timothy Thatcher match. So he decided, okay, if I'm going to fight this guy, I'm going to wrestle his style. And they went out there and had a pretty, pretty good show.
If anything, it shows how versatile Finn really is. Because, like you said, his normal style is he's a little bit high flyer. He's hard hitting still.
Yeah.
Like when he, you know, the shotgun
drop kick
into the corner, you know, the 1916, which just still looks vicious as hell. But all those things are just, you know, they're a nice piece of his overall scheme, but a lot of people associate him with, you know, that the top rope flip and the coup de grace, a lot of high flying stuff. But yet him being able to take a mat based or hard hitting style match like this just shows that he can adapt to a lot of guys' different styles and that he really enjoys being home.
What we've learned, and we've learned since day one, Finn Balor on an NXT TakeOver has a really good match.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
He always comes and delivers every single time because, okay, what regular TV is just regular TV, but when the cameras are on, the lights are on, it's a big event. Like this was, Finn Balor went out there and went, "Hi, I wrestle here. I'm the one people talk about."
No. Hi, I made here.
I mean, that's not wrong.
It's not wrong, no.
I mean, Finn was and still is synonymous with NXT in terms of being a face of the brand. And I love how this match in particular and the style of it and just the presentation of it played into Finn's current iteration of his character, which is a much more hard-hitting, vicious, I don't want to say cruel, but maybe sadistic individual where he just has no fucks to give and he's just going to go out there and beat the ever-living crap out of somebody. Mm-hmm. But where it really gets you is he's willing to take as much as he's willing to give. He's not afraid of being in a fight. He's okay with being in a fight as long as he gets to fight. And I really like that about him. Like, he's not trying to be the man of honor that he was. He's not trying to be the demon. And while the demon was cool, the demon kind of ran its course in WWE, mainly because they kind of overexposed it a little bit. And when it went up to the main roster, it just kind of lost that appeal a little bit. Because it was always something really super special in NXT. And they did use it a lot in NXT, but, you know, it was always when the demon showed up, somebody was gonna die. That was just it. So the fact that Finn doesn't even need the demon anymore, the demon and him are one, essentially, I'm totally here for this. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with this. And honestly, I would not mind seeing more matches between Timothy Thatcher and Finn Balor. I would be completely open to that.
In the end, Finn Balor was able to pick up the victory after the 1916 DDT.
I love that move.
God, that's such a good move.
I love a good, like, spike pile driver / brainbuster kind of thing. It looks so impactful. And especially when he delivers it, it looks like he's just burying the guy's head into the mat.
A couple notes we need to mention. Mauro Ranallo did not call this show.
Mm-hmm.
He was back home with his family in Canada. That's all. No big deal. Big Joseph was play-by-play. Beth Phoenix was doing commentary from her home. And we had a third commentator, Corey Graves.
Well, it's a little weird to have Big Joseph sitting there by himself.
It is.
And welcome back, Corey!
He asked to be a part of the show, and with Mauro not there, it made the perfect sense.
Yep. You need that third voice, so they got Corey Graves to come in and commentate, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, up next...
Before that, we had people in the crowd.
We did. We had Sasha and Bayley in the crowd.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't there something right after TakeOver?
Yeah.
It's almost like they were placed there, possibly, for a reason.
Which I'm currently... It's currently on my television at the moment.
I do have one thing to say about this appearance, and that is this. You couldn't get Sasha a mask?
You know.
Get her a blinged out mask.
Yeah, it's like, where's the blinged out? And it's she was wearing a face covering, so she had like a bandana mask on, which was completely fine. There's nothing wrong with what she had on, but it was just like barely sitting there in a Macho Man mask. Everybody else has masks on. And it's almost like Sasha forgot her mask, and so she just threw the scarf on real quick because she needed something.
She probably forgot it in the locker room and had something just for...
Shit!
For television.
Sasha! Face! She's like, all right! Throws it on, you know. But it was just like, yeah, it's like, wow, okay, all right. It was just an observation. It's not judging her or anything like that. It's just like, y'all couldn't get her a mask real quick. Like, I know you have them.
Yeah. So
I know you have them.
So what was the next match?
So the next match, if I'm not mistaken, which I probably am, was the North American Championship match.
That is correct.
Good job.
I'm like sitting here trying to remember it. And it's like I was reversing Adam Cole and Pat McAfee and the North American title. So anyway, your North American Championship is on the line in a ladder match as Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes.
No, get it right. The Heartbreak Kid, Damian Priest.
He went tits out.
Okay. Yeah. God damn it, Rock.
Okay. To be fair, Beth Phoenix made the same reference we did on commentary.
Everyone went there.
Yeah.
So because it was so reminiscent.
That was the point.
Not have seen. Damien comes out wearing his leather pants as normal, but the top is the chain links that we swear to God was like early 90s Shawn Michaels.
He probably borrowed it from Shawn.
Shawn's like, hey kid, here's something for your big moment in the North American title match. It's like Mean Joe Green throwing the jersey to the kid in the stands. Shawn just gave him one of his tits out shirts.
Okay.
I mean, basically.
Anyway, to finish up, with Priest, Gargano, Reed, Grimes, and Dream in the match. Velveteen Dream came out, and I started cringing. I don't know why.
He was doing the Scott Steiner look with the chainmail headdress, which was not cool.
In a bathrobe, I went, ooh.
A disco ball bathrobe.
It doesn't help his current situation to look creepy.
No, it doesn't.
It just doesn't help things.
It doesn't help at all. Doesn't help the situation whatsoever. I'm sorry.
I'm still really surprised you got put in this match. I mean, I'm not, but I am. I'm extremely surprised, given the circumstances surrounding him, that they just weren't like, we're just gonna bring you back after this.
Also, Bronson Reed had his Bam Bam Bigelow gear.
Yes, he did.
I was gonna say, it was almost bordering on PN News, if we want to make a real old school reference there.
But I mean, bad. It wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't bad. By the way, whoever was yelling "thick boy" during his entrance, please know.
Well, that's his gimmick name.
I know, but it's like they're trying to, you know, behind him, it's like the colossal Bronson Reed, and he's standing there, and all you hear is like a female voice in the crowd go just repeatedly saying "thick boy."
That's probably one of his best friends. You know it is. Let's all be completely honest. That's like somebody who's like really good friends with him. That's like, I'm going to yell this during your entrance because I can.
It was Dakota. His fellow Kiwi. And he's just like, God damn it. Don't you have a match to prep for?
So, and I mean, even, let's not forget him. Even Cameron Grimes was sporting some new gear.
Cameron!
Johnny was sporting some new gear. They all look spruced up. They all look good. They dressed for the occasion. And then they just went to goddamn town with each other.
Yeah, they weren't playing safe with each other. They were going pedal down.
I'm not sure how Cameron Grimes is still conscious. I'm just going to throw that out there. There's several spots in that match where he should not be conscious.
I do have to admit, I loved the early spot with him when he clears out, or like everyone's in the ring or fighting amongst themselves. He goes outside the ring to grab a ladder, and he gets the WLC ladder, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he just starts yelling at the people behind the plexiglass. Who put this here? Was it you? Dear God. He really did escape from the Wyatt compound, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
He didn't get the full Wyatt treatment. They just kind of like, they turned the oven on, and he kind of left a little unbaked.
He's half-baked Wyatt.
He had the stare, and Bray was like, it's fine.
He looks the part, and then they were like, oh no, wait, come back. Shit.
Oh, as Matt pointed out in chat, they tested the plexiglass on this one.
Yeah, they chucked a ladder out of the ring, and thank God for the plexiglass, or else it would have been in the fourth row, and somebody would have taken a ladder to the face in the audience.
So we saw later, the plexiglass doesn't quite always hold up.
No, we
need to give a shout out to Mrs. Wrestling, Candice LeRae.
She was the mom died for MVP.
Tonight. Like, she comes out, like, Cameron's going for the title, right? Everybody else is laid out except for Cameron Grimes, and it's his moment, right? This is his moment. And so he scrambles himself up the ladder. He's got one hand on the title, and then Mrs. Wrestling comes out and is like, nope, that's not yours, and gets him off the ladder and starts beating him up.
The look on his face when she grabbed his leg, and he was just like, seriously? Like, of anyone that was going to stop him, you know, the pint-sized pixie, or the poison pixie just stops him, and he's like, oh, God damn it.
Damn it, woman!
And then she just beats the ever-living piss out of him.
That was the best part. He's just taking his beating from her, and he's like, ow, 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 yeah. Ow, ow.
Then, thanks to a little assist from her husband, she pulls off a Hurricane Rana from the apron and takes Cameron out to the floor. Which, again, kudos for that one.
Yeah, that was sweet. That was really sweet.
And then, so Bronson's climbing the ladder. Johnny's on the ground. Bronson's climbing the ladder. Candace gets up on top of Bronson and tries to stop him. He's like, okay.
And he's turned around in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not climbing the ladder normally. He's doing it, like, backwards, with his back to the ladder, trying to just reach up for it.
And then he grabs a hold of her. She's on his back, and he just dives off the top of the ladder onto Johnny Gargano with Candace on his back.
Mom died for our sins tonight.
As I called it, Splash Mountain for the Disney couple.
She played Ride the Kiwi.
There were a couple odd spots in this one. Like Johnny using the ladder for his DDT thing. Corey Graves, he didn't get any of it, but he actually did.
Yeah, he did. That's the other spot I think Cameron Grimes should not be conscious of, because that was nasty.
No, that was the flipping
Powerbomb. Yeah, it was the flip powerbomb
ladder.
That he caught the side of the ladder with. And yeah, we all just went, is Cameron okay?
Yeah, it's like, oh, ow.
And then
he needed a powder after that for just a bit.
And what they thought was going to be a really cool spot was the Dream Valley driver by Dream onto the ladder onto somebody. I forget who was supposed to be onto, but it's like, he hit it and they just rolled off. And
He had Johnny on his shoulders and it was Damien, I think, that was down on the ladder.
And it just sort of went, eh. It did not have the impact. I think if the ladder broke, it would have been like, holy shit, but it didn't break. It just went, bounced off.
Okay, but go ahead.
I was going to say, there was one spot, though, that has been innovated in a ladder match as of tonight.
Oh, the split leg?
And it was starring, yet again, Cameron Grimes.
He's flexible. I'll give him that.
So, you get the usual two ladder spot, side by side, so, you know, people can climb up it. And Cameron knocks them both off. He then decides to climb both ladders at the same time. Mistake number one. Both guys then recover and decide they're going to get a little bit of retribution and pull the ladders apart. And Cameron just ends up in the splits. He did not have a good night.
Yeah, that was not good for Cameron Grimes.
No,
it wasn't. But can we just talk about one of my favorite spots tonight? Because it's kind of a thing for me in ladder matches when they're doing all these dives off the ladder and they're jumping off to each other. And I'm like, you're literally at the top of the ladder. You could just grab the fucking title. They finally did that spot where somebody realizes they're at the top of the ladder and they can grab the title, because Dream's getting ready to do a dive off the top and he puts his hands up in his pose and he smacks the title with his hands and he's like, oh shit, right, it's right here.
Yeah, he was going to do the purple Rainmaker and it was just like, wait, it's right here.
It's right here, hold on, let me grab this real quick. Like,
yeah, that was a good spot.
I was going to say, the other spot that I thought was good that you've seen used once before was using the hanging belt as a weapon while you're up there.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I believe, Johnny at first, because I think it was Bronson was going for it. And Johnny had the, you know, they're both reaching for it, and Johnny grabs it and just whack, hits Bronson Reed with it, and Reed falls back. And it's like, why don't people do that more often? Don't sit there and, like, swing your one good arm. You have a weapon that has knocked people out for years in matches. Just hanging there. Beat them with it.
Well, the whole Johnny Cameron spot where they swung the title back and forth and Johnny smacked Cameron in the face with it.
Uh-huh.
Like, that kind of stuff. But can we talk about Mr. Priest?
No, can we talk about Dream first?
Yeah.
And his dive over the plexiglass, I guess?
Oh my god, is he okay?
Dream is gone now. Dream has left the film.
Dream is in another state. Like, they legit sent him over the announce table. He cleared the announce table, guys, I think from almost the center of the ring. They flung him. I don't know how else to describe that other than they flung him from the center of the ring. I want to say he cleared the plexiglass, but I'm not 100% sure.
He clipped the glass as part of it and hit, you know, whatever was over there.
He went through. He didn't go through
Georgia.
He didn't go through the announce table. It was a production table, but yeah.
By the way, Lindsay, if you want to ask why was Dream in this match, there you
go.
That was just that spot.
But hey, go ahead.
I was gonna say, Pat, we need you for this.
I I want to talk about Damian Priest and his surprise pop-ups, because he had two really funny ones in this match where I forget who was going for the title, but he basically pops up behind them.
First was Cameron, second was Johnny.
Yeah, where, like, for Cameron, Cameron's reaching for the title, and Damian just legit, in almost Taker AJ style, pops up out of nowhere behind Cameron, who's on a ladder, and is like, now. Smack. And then Dream's going for the title. He's got his hands up on the title, and all of a sudden you just see Damien's hand in a chokeslam style grab out of nowhere, out of the shot, just come up and grab Dream by the throat. It's like, and there's just a random Damian Priest just right there. He's just right there. He just magically teleported his ass onto that ladder. I don't even know how he did it. Couldn't tell you.
And also, speaking of Mr. Priest and his abilities, anytime someone tries to run up a ladder in a match like this, you go, this can't go well. He runs out the ladder and does the plancha or suicide dive, whatever it was, and just, it looked effortless for him. He had Cameron assist him under the ladder to make sure it was stable, but he still just ran up it with ease. Pulled the flip out, and you just went, someone that big shouldn't be able to do that.
Man is talented. Telling you, man, he's talented. I do want to talk about his pants, because I need to speak to whomever made them, because there was just way too much dangly shit on there for them to possibly be safe for a ladder match. He could have caught on everything in his in that match, and he could have lost his pants.
Safe for a ladder match? Mean
no he had no. Like all the chains no, and everything and they were swinging everywhere.
I don't think it was safe for other things he did either.
Lindsay, I don't think we need to worry about those pants anymore. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll talk about his pants here, but it was like it had all these dangly things on him. It's like he could have very easily lost his pants in this match. Not that anybody would have complained about that, but maybe next time he's gonna do a ladder match we don't put the dangly bits. Just saying. Otherwise we'll see his I'm sure he does like his dangly bits, but I don't think the entire world needs to see his dangly bits. That's what I'm saying.
So in the end, Damian Priest is your new North American champion.
I'm okay with this. I'm pleasantly surprised and happy and thrilled for him, and I hope it means a new direction for him. But I think everybody shined in this match. I think everybody has a really positive outlook coming out of this match, because they all just went in there and just nailed it.
You had Johnny put on a takeover style, you know, performance, and it goes right in line with him and Candace's new thing. Dream did Dream things. Bronson Reed looked like a beast. You had Cameron survive the match. Yeah, everyone came out looking good.
Afterwards, as we saw later in the show, Mr. Priest decided to celebrate with some ladies in a hot tub.
You don't take leather pants into a hot tub!
Those weren't leather!
I don't care! Whatever they're supposed to be, they are not meant to go into a hot tub!
They're plastic. I'm sure they came off right after the cameras turned off.
And I don't know, because Dad was there with him at one point. I think they were still on, or at least I hope they were.
And then after Hunter got his, you know, picture.
Which is such a big dick energy picture. It's like he's literally sitting in a hot tub with two chicks with champagne, holding the title, and Hunter's behind him pointing, smirking. Like, for fuck's sake, like, everybody else just has the standard backstage point, Damian Priest in a hot tub. Like, come on.
I loved
that little bit.
It's great.
Like, it's just, fuck it. He was so confident in winning, right? He's so confident in winning this match that he has two girls, a hot tub, a Hummer, and a bucket full of champagne fucking delivered to to Full Sail in anticipation of his win.
Like you do.
And worst case, if you lose, you can go sulk in your hot tub with your champagne and your two women.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win-win situation.
That is a win-win. I mean, I'm okay with this. Damian Priest hot tub, ladies and gentlemen. MVP of the night, possibly. Close second, probably Cameron Grimes. Everything, because good lord, that man should not be walking right now.
All right, what's next?
Up next, and again, I'm trying to remember the order, so if I get it wrong, I'm sorry. We have the surprise of the night. Something I could argue would potentially be match of the night. Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee.
So, you had Pat do his own ring introduction. his home hype promo before the match. He had his friends. He had his just for the brand t-shirt. He had his friends wearing Cole Sucks t-shirts. The friends were supposed to be banned, but they showed up anyhow.
He's going to tell them no.
Uncle William just...
Well, Regal did.
He couldn't go out there. He had to be socially distanced.
Regal told him no, and they still defied William Regal. Just saying.
Which is a bad move. That's
they will face his
move.
Wrath later.
He'll murder them later.
By the way, awesome to see Regal back.
Yes.
Back
I was
in
so
the
happy Dad was back.
So, they had a really good match. They had the basic heel tactics from Pat McAfee, you know. They do the headlock spots and whatever, and then his guys come out. He has guys with them, and he does all the stalling techniques. But then they get into it, and they had a pretty good match. Pat McAfee went out there doing swantons off the top rope.
Pat McAfee is more athletic than he has any right to be, okay?
I mean, he's a punter.
I was going to say, for anyone who knows, punters and kickers are the laughingstocks of football teams just because all they do is go out there and kick. Everyone hates them. They don't even really do conditioning. And yet McAfee's going out there pulling backflips off of top ropes. What the hell?
I really love that Pat McAfee and Adam Cole wholeheartedly went for it. Because this could have been a simple 5-minute embarrassment match. I think they went like, what, 10?
16 minutes.
16 minutes. A 16-minute match between a former football player and Adam Cole. Okay? And they went for it. And when I say they went for it, like Brent said, Pat was doing backflips off of top ropes. They were straight up wrestling. Like, you can tell that Pat put some serious time and some serious effort into this.
He did. I liked when Corey Graves when they were brought, they clinched up and were punching each other. They're having a hockey fight. And then Cole pulls the shirt over McAfee. And now he's really doing the hockey fight.
And now it really is a hockey fight.
And then Cole got control of this matchup and he hit some big moves. And they're like, it's two counts. And Cole looks over at the referee going, come on. What's going on here? Are you serious?
I like how it started, though. Like, Cole hits McAfee with something. The ref counts like one or two. McAfee kicks out, and Cole just has the look like, all right, you want some more? We'll do this. It's, you still got cocky Cole in this match, but it was like you really saw that McAfee was a threat during this match.
For a little while, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, McAfee, again, went through his training. He knew what he was doing. And it was like, during the match, not only was he cocky, but he knew. He just knew how to work things and how to take control of Cole, who is a trained professional wrestler. And when you're watching it, you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, he's actually not bad. Because most people, when you heard Pat McAfee, you're like, oh, it's a standard celebrity match. All right, he'll hit about four moves. But no, he has the athleticism, and he looked good.
He looked really good. Yeah.
I'm not saying he was, Ronda Rousey level good.
But he was good.
For her debut. But I mean, against any other celebrity, including, Mr. Amel, even in that match, Amel only had like two or three moves. This was a one-on-one contest with someone for 16, 18 minutes. He held his own.
Yeah. So.
And he didn't get tired. He didn't get blown up.
No,
he was conditioned for this.
They worked a slow enough pace where he didn't have to overexert himself all the time.
Big stuff for when they needed it.
Mm-hmm. He did the swanton to the outside at one point, and then Adam Cole shoved him off the top rope, and he did that backflip, and the crowd that was there went, oh my God, what are we seeing? And then he runs up like he's Sheldon Benjamin and does a superplex.
He ran up and jumped onto the top rope.
Yeah, it's like the Kurt Angle Shelton Benjamin spot where you run up right up to the top rope and do the move. And then they go outside and Pat goes for the punt kick and then Cole was draped over the thing. Pat's on the outside, goes for the punt kick and he kicked the step and it's like, oh crap, my foot. Oh no. Oh no.
And this is where, much like in the Balor match, Cole got a look on his face that was, you're about to die.
Mm-hmm. So he got the figure four spot. They did that. It was good. And then, we had a low blow and Cole got hit with the punt kick. And then McAfee was ready to do more. And then, well, Adam Cole finally took back over and super kicked him and gave him the last shot. And what was going for the last shot, but went for the Panama Sunrise and beat Pat McAfee in the middle of the ring.
That was one of the nice spots when he's talking to McAfee and he goes to pull the knee pad down and they both look at it and Cole just kind of goes,
nah.
No, you're not worth this. And he gets up onto the second rope and is just going to give him the Panama Sunrise. Again, the athleticism of Pat McAfee to be able to pull that move off like everyone else.
Yeah, it was good match. He was positioned well. He did everything he needed to. You could tell he was a rookie and taking spots because there was where Cole had him up for like the go to sleep position on the shoulders and drops him on the knee. You could see Pat, he flattened out his body as straight as he can to take that move.
And I mean, we have to give, for all we're talking about Pat McAfee, we need to talk about Adam Cole and just give him absolute props for carrying Pat through that match, because he did a wonderful job of leading and carrying that match and making sure that they both came through it A-OK and making himself look amazing like he always does, but also making Pat look absolutely amazing. So massive props to Adam Cole for this, because I actually really enjoyed this match. Like, I wasn't necessarily looking forward to this because it's like you always, you know, think it's like it's a standard celebrity match. So it's like, it's whatever. But with this, it was like, wow, this is actually really good. Wow. Okay. I'm here for this.
And here's a point that needs to be made. You thought how long did they go? You figured, what, 6-7 minutes?
10 minutes,
and they went 16. That says something right there. Didn't feel long.
Mm-mm.
It worked.
It didn't.
And that when you get some celebrities in there, it's like, okay, this is enough already. And this was perfectly timed and well executed. Good stuff.
And honestly, if they wanted to get Pat McAfee to train to be a full time professional wrestler,
he wants to.
They should let him.
If he can, he has commitments, but he wants to.
Like, if they could train him and actually get him up to speed, can you imagine? Just based on what we saw tonight, boy's got some skills. Boy's got some serious skills. They need to think on that one. I don't think he would be the best ever, but he's got presence. He can talk. He's athletic.
Yeah, I think it just depends on how much time he's able to commit to something like this.
So,
because with his show and other things.
Yeah, here's comments from tonight. Pat McAfee told Triple H he wanted to be a weapon in WWE, and Triple H thought he meant commentator. He didn't. Pat wants Triple H to induct him into the WWE Hall of Fame when he goes in. Triple H isn't sure what Pat McAfee's future is, but they're definitely going to talk about it. Triple H seemed really eager to get McAfee back in there. McAfee wants this. He legit retired from wrestling, or from the NFL to become a WWE superstar. Because he heard that they don't look at people once they get to 30 years old.
He wants to do the thing. He's committed to it. I say let him do it. Let's see what he can do. I mean, shit.
And the thing is especially when it comes to some celebrities, like, you can train someone in the ring. Will they be great? Some will have some physical limitations. But a lot of what people need to work on is that kind of presence. Pat has that. And we learned that going into this feud of, he's able to cut a really good promo already and be just the dickish heel if you want him to be.
He would be great leading a stable.
Oh, God. Him as the mouthpiece that, and then if need be, can get in the ring. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm kind of here to see what Pat McAfee can do. I'm very here for this. So let's see if we can make this happen. But moving on, and this is where we're just going to let Brent scream for 4 years. The NXT Women's Championship is on the line as Io Shirai takes on Dakota Kai. Brent, go.
This is what women's wrestling is. Other companies, watch and pay attention. This is how you spotlight two good performers and let them go. Honest to God, these two women got in the ring and fucking owned it. You had Raquel on the outside, and she made her presence felt throughout the match. But for the most part, it was Dakota, it was Io, and they told a good story with Dakota trying to pinpoint a part of Io and just take it away. She worked her arm the entire match, and it was doing all she could to just take her down. She had her help. God, it was so good.
It's a very enjoyable match. The ladies went out there and they wrestled a pretty good match. Dakota had a really good showing. Io had a really good showing. We had good submissions, good near falls. We had a ref bump.
It wasn't a bump. It was Dakota kicked his head up the ramp.
The babyface Io Shirai getting the 2 count, 3 count, 4 count, 5 count, 6 count, but there was no referee. Then Raquel Gonzalez gets in the ring, hits her big move, drops Io. Dakota thinks, okay, I got this one. Referee gets thrown back into position. Now you always wonder what's going through the referee's mind where they're just now thrown into position.
Oh, okay.
All right. 1, 2. Oh, kicked out. Then
I loved the primal scream from Dakota at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like she had a close fall before that, and she just had the kind of like dejection. But this time she honestly had it. It was one of those back pins where it was just like the 1, 2, and Io kicks out, and Dakota just lets out this yell of disbelief. And it was like you can tell that all that frustration, all that time that she had considered herself, quote, held down, just came flooding back.
Yeah, and they had a good match. They delivered on the show. It wasn't the match of the night, but it was a really well-worked match. And in the end, Io cleared Raquel and Dakota on the outside with moonsault, gets Kai back in the ring, drops her with another moonsault, retains her title.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this a lot. I thought this was very, very good. It was very well done. It wasn't the blowout match that I think we all thought it was going to be, but that's okay. That's fine. This is a first showing between, I think, Dakota and Io for the title, so there will be lots more to follow for Dakota and Io both. And I think maybe they were just feeling themselves out on this one, or maybe this was just all they planned to do, but I like this. I thought it was good. I thought it was a very strong offering for both of them, and I'm excited to see more. And after the match, we had Raquel play a factor because, well, a certain Miss Ripley showed up with her black lipstick and had a little stare down with Rena.
I'm absolutely here for this.
And she also, you know, kept clearing out the title too.
Yeah, but she's going to take Rena out first.
Yeah.
We had two powers in the ring, and they were fighting for who was going to be on top.
Yeah.
I just kind of maybe want Rena and Rhea and Mercedes to just get together and do a thing.
And we may get that. Go
back. You know what? Just all three of them, Raw Underground. Just put the three of them on a mat and be like, just kill each other.
Just go. Just
have
go.
Fun, ladies. Have fun.
LeMans, I wouldn't say the feud with Mercedes is over. It's so good. They're going to have that match. She was backup for Io. That's all. That's all she was tonight. Go.
Yeah, so she, because Rena kind of made an attack on Io after the match, so Rhea came out to basically stop her.
It was the big hero spot to get her on the show. That's all that really was.
And to possibly stake a claim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So going back to the match in Dakota for a second, this goes back to what we talked about Thursday, where it's like Dakota's been that second level tier heel and she needs that big moment. So that's why this matchup was good and wrestled really well, but it was hard to really buy into Dakota winning at the end because she's never been given that big moment.
Yeah.
And that could be, you know, on the cusp or coming very
right.
soon.
But she's also, she's not the main event level heel yet. So that she's still working her way into that position. She's second tier. And that's fine.
Right. But the nice thing is they've taken the steps with her to get her, you know, to the point where she is just on the cusp. Because 6 months ago, if you're like, Dakota Kai, you know, could be possibly one of those top level heels, you were like, I don't know.
But once she turned on her best friend, I mean, everything's possible.
Hypothetically.
It's not hypothetical.
To me, it still is.
It's not hypothetical. When they start using it as ammo in promos, I'm terribly sorry, sir. It is legit.
By the way, the pre-match promo just showing the owning by Io Shirai of Dakota Kai. Thank you, production team.
It was so good. Their video production has been super on point lately, and I love everything about it. Like, I don't know who's doing it, if it's the Full Sail people or if it's WWE production, but y'all been putting together some awesome stuff lately. So props to you guys. So moving on to the main event, the match everybody was looking forward to. The NXT Championship is on the line as Keith Lee takes on Karrion Kross. And I'm going to say this, if I get hate for it, I'm sorry, but this match kind of left me a little wanting.
Okay, that is an opinion, and it's the right opinion. But we have backstory to why it fell off, okay?
Okay.
Time to hit a button.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, if we notice in this matchup, Karrion Kross was favoring a shoulder, an arm, as it were, at times.
Uh-huh.
Separated shoulder.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So they put the title on him with a separated shoulder?
It happened during the match.
No, Keith.
No, Karrion.
Oh, God.
Karrion Kross. Separated shoulder.
Well, that explains a lot.
That explains some of it, but...
No, but that means some of the big moves. No, their styles were off in this matchup between the two. They were just... as I was trying to explain to Lindsay as we were watching this, this was had the big fight feel without the big fight crowd. So the big powerful moments and the big ooh-ah moments, it wasn't there for the crowd. So they wrestled that type of match where you would have the big eruption and you could have sold it. But because you didn't have the crowd, you had to go to the next move and the next move and the next move.
See,
and it didn't work.
I don't even know if it was that.
To me it was. But what do you think it was?
I don't know. To me, it was one of those things of, and I told you guys this earlier, but I'll say it here. Keith seems to kind of flourish and work well with someone who's a little quicker. Someone, you know, like him and Johnny together was a great match because Keith could keep up with the speed of Johnny while being able to pull off the power moves. I feel like with Kross, when it was just power versus power, and I mean, we had a little bit of that with Dominic, but at least Dominic was, you know, an agile big man again. I feel like with Kross being just a heavy, Keith really kind of had to slow down some of his stuff, and it just felt off that way. Because even though, you know, Karrion has the power to match him, and Karrion, you know, can move, I don't think he can do the moves like other people can. And in a way, Keith has to kind of step out of his element to try and work with Karrion.
Keith tries to work a style when he's 230 pounds instead of being 330 pounds, which, you know, more what he is. Because that's the style he works. He works tries to work that style, and it just doesn't mesh with a guy like Karrion Kross, who's a big, powerful dude.
Right.
And doesn't work that style.
Well, and I mean, to be fair, the way that we've kind of been sold on Karrion Kross is he comes out, and he has these relatively quick, aggressive, violent matches, right? Like, we're used to that level of aggression in him, and I just didn't see that in this. And I understand that he and Keith need to be on much more equal footing because they are equals coming into this match, but it was like that viciousness that we see in Karrion Kross every other time that he comes out and he beats up people up. Like in this feud, this is the guy that laid to waste to the backstage and left bodies, literally bodies, everywhere backstage. Like, just that...
Sorry. This is someone who annihilated Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, it's like that level of just viciousness was just not there.
Yeah, it wasn't their night. I mean, some will say it's a really good match, and it could have... It was good, don't get me wrong, but it could have been better. There could have been more special moments, more of a feel to it that this match just didn't have, and, you know, it happens, and you know, injuries slow down the match and stuff like that. Like, the finish, okay. Like, that...
Finish was weird.
That was weird.
They haven't established the back suplex as his finish to make it come off as, oh my god, that's the move. You know what I mean?
And I was going to say, the thing is, like Lindsay talked about, him pulling out that doomsday, whatever it's called.
Saito suplex.
Saito. Like, the problem is... The fact that he throws five of them a match against the lesser talent, and it's just, you know, one after another, that it's like, okay, when he comes here and he hits the one on Keith, and then he goes up and hits it off the second rope, you're kind of like, okay, wait, that's it?
Yeah.
Because you're used to seeing it.
Yeah, and again, it didn't have the same, like, and the injury played part of it, where it didn't have the same lift to get them, like, the big oomph to throw them off. They just sort of fell backwards, and that sort of hurt it. By the way, the injury is tentative of a separated shoulder. He is going to go in for an MRI, but that's what Hunter believes it to be.
It could be a simple separation, or depending upon how it separated, there could be a little bit of tearing in there. They'll need to do an MRI.
They're going to do an MRI probably tomorrow or Monday to get that all figured out. But that's the deal there. But in the end, Karrion got the win, got the title. Finished all a little flat, but that it happens sometimes. Everything's not going to be a home run, but it was the right finish.
Because
the comments afterwards from Triple H, when asked about Keith Lee, he gave the stay tuned.
Yeah.
He's going up.
And I mean, there's that piece of it. And also, I mean, Karrion holding the title and being, you know, that big, bad, evil guy sitting there on top of the mountain that someone will have to take down will play out as a good story, because you'll have Scarlett there that can be the antagonist. You have Cross as just the monster, and you'll build it. It gives you the chance to build someone up to be the ultimate conquering hero. If it is someone like a redeemed Johnny or
Tommaso,
Tommaso could try and come back for the gold belt and get his redemption against Cross. Not that kind of redemption, though.
Yeah. So,
but
there's many opportunities going forward. There's different challengers. There's going to be different people coming in. And who knows, from the main roster could come down and challenge Karrion Kross, because coming soon there's a draft, and NXT probably could be involved in it. So you could be seeing people come in, and we have new matches we don't even know.
Yeah. And, I mean, even after the draft, with the way things are going right now, they could have someone go down there and work with Kross. I mean, I think potentially the injury probably played a part in the finish, because something just tells me that wasn't the original finish that they had planned.
No,
and Karrion could not.
I think it was the finish. It just didn't. Oof.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm still eager to see what he can do, because I feel like it was the right move. No offense to Keith Lee, to put the title on Karrion Kross, because there was really no great way to have him lose. It would almost have to be a DQ situation for Karrion Kross to lose the title, and that's such a, or yeah, to not win the title, I should say. And that's such a cheap way to do it, you know? Where it's like,
NXT doesn't do those kinds of finishes for a title match.
Yeah, so it's like, it was almost like he kind of has to win just with the level of momentum he has. And he kind of has to have a longer title reign, because it's like you built him up, like you said, as this monster, right? He's this unbeatable guy. He just goes out there and just takes out whoever he wants. So you need to have somebody that can withstand anything Karrion Kross can throw at them and beat him. And the question is who is that person? You know, because the other flip side of it could it be redeemed Finn Balor?
He could.
That could be a good one. I want to suggest two names if NXT does it or steals from the draft. Number one, if one and only comes back, I want to see him and Kross, because that would be amazing.
Okay.
Number two, I would love to see Kevin Owens versus Killer Kross.
Those guys
would kill each other. And I don't mean that in a metaphorical sense. I mean, someone will be going to prison for it.
Mm-hmm. I would be down for that.
So,
not for them going to prison, but for the match.
No,
yeah.
No, for what could happen on a takeover with that.
So a few things. We had Cesaro in the crowd at one point. We had Drew McIntyre on the announce desk for a minute. All the people the Bayley, Sasha, Cesaro, Drew, they all asked to be on the show.
Yeah, it's the big, it's TakeOver 30. It's some of those, for some of them, it's that homecoming. So it's like, yeah, I want to go back to high school for a night, you know?
And Bayley and Sasha constantly ask to be a part of NXT.
Of course they do.
Dad, we want to come home. No. Dad, you don't understand. We really want to come home. No.
You've moved off to college.
Dad.
No. You're at college now. You're not allowed. But we need to do laundry. No. There is a laundromat up the road.
But Dad, it's NXT 30. Fine.
Just picture if they could get the four back together. If all of them are just like, No, we want to go. We want to go for one night. Just all of us. We're going. We're doing Hunter. Clear a spot. We're all coming.
I low-key want all four of them in the ring, but Becky's, like, super pregnant, and they're all just, like, putting their blessing on the baby.
They all just put the four fingers on there, like, here you go.
Like, we made this together. Seth had no involvement. Okay, he had a little involvement, but we made this together.
This is our baby now.
Especially if she's having a girl.
Oh, God.
Can you just imagine? Oh, God. That would be amazing.
It's our baby now.
This is completely off topic, but sometimes I really wonder if somebody's ever fucked up and called Hunter Dad.
Probably.
Like, because they all call him that. So it's like, Dad?
Sean probably has them do it. He's probably just like, go up and call him Dad. Go do it. Do it. Do it.
The question is,
he does it and Hunter just turns to Sean.
The question is it Dad or is it Daddy? Because you know Hunter'd get his kicks out of Daddy. You know he would. No, okay.
Steph can call him that, and Sean.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a couple other people that can too, but yeah. So
that's a whole nother show.
So, I mean, in terms of takeovers, this getting back on topic, because we don't need to go down that road, getting back to this show, this was a good takeover. I don't think I would put it up there with, like, above any other takeovers that have happened recently. This is kind of sort of a middle of the road for me. It wasn't like, oh my God, this was super fantastic. Everything they did was wonderful. But this wasn't a what I would consider a bad takeover, which even a bad takeover is still like, it was really fucking good. This was, for me, a little bit of middle of the road just because some of the matches didn't deliver the way that you wanted them to. And you're like, So I can't, like, put it up there where on the card every single match delivered, right? Because that didn't happen. At least for me.
It didn't deliver, but it was a solid 2.5 hour show.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining. Again, these takeovers, you can't really judge and compare them to past takeovers because it's not the same, because the big takeovers have the big 15,000 people in the building crowd. So, you know.
Well, and it's hard to compare sometimes show to show because the roster does flip so much and you have to just keep building the new stars that it's hard to compare, you know, Sammy and Cesaro to Balor and Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's comparing apples to,
I don't know about that.
Tomatoes.
I can compare Balor and Thatcher.
God damn you.
Plantains.
Mangoes.
Mangoes.
Mangoes. Mangoes. Oranges, mangoes.
Blueberries.
Cranberries.
Cranberries.
Cranberries. Plantains.
Oh, Lord help us. So, all right. I think that does it for us, unless anybody else has anything they want to say.
Brent has stuff to reveal.
Yes, I have to go over something.
Okay, go over something.
So we made picks, and God, did we make picks.
I mean, I'm not used to you generally having them ready, so, you know.
No, this isn't, that's Sunday, he never has them ready.
That's Sunday, because I'm usually going through and trying to get the rest of them locked in, because some people don't make picks until like 30 minutes before the show, and now I need to listen to like 14 shows to get all the picks because someone couldn't make a pick on their show.
She has issues. She just keeps going. She may want to change it again. Who knows?
I may have to change my pick again because they added a step.
Email, or just put it in the chat. Okay.
Anyway. I actually need
listening to another show.
It's only 30 minutes. It's enjoyable. We had a good time. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway,
I don't really remember anything I said, but you know, I had a good time.
Anyway, recap. Go
in the picks. At the bottom, Lindsay.
Yeah, old man, last place.
You picked Finn Balor, and that was it.
I got one right, and I knew that. I knew that going in. It's like when we were starting the show. It's like I got one match right. One match. That's it. But that's good!
Right above her is a tie between me and an inanimate object. I tied with the eight ball.
Good job.
Lindsay, just above that is the wheel.
Okay.
3-3.
Okay.
The wheel got it half right. And then at 4-2 is Rock.
Yeah. I'm good.
Finn
saved you from going over.
No, Finn just tweeted out, I just had two beers and a donut.
And yet he still has, like, 8-pack abs. The bastard.
Anyway, that does it for us for this, but we're not going anywhere. If you're listening live, we're going to play Fortnite.
Yes.
doing Fortnite with friends, the three of us. We're going live, so just don't go anywhere. And then don't go anywhere after that, because that's CB Radio. We're here all night.
Get your picks in for the Greater Than Great Debate.
Yeah, we're doing potatoes.
God's most perfect food.
Because it was National Potato Day last week.
The winner is anything fried.
It is legit God's most perfect food. I mean, you can make anything out of potatoes.
And we found 64 things.
63 of them are fried. One is mashed.
Sunday night, they're going to talk about SummerSlam. Monday night, we're doing the Raw Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back Thursday night to talk SummerSlam at 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack. Rack Radio Show is on all the social media platforms at Rack Radio Show. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Find the Rack Radio Show. You can follow at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime, they give you a Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. And yes, I know I said Twitch Prime. It's Prime Gaming. By hitting the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use creator code ROCKETSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop because Marvel is coming to Fortnite. Hashtag ad. Yeah, season 4 is hashtag ad. Hashtag every partner.
Brennan's just slightly excited.
It says the Herald has found the island. We get the Silver Surfer and possibly Galactus. That is amazing.
Galactus is gonna eat the island, dude.
I don't care.
Go read the comic book in the game? He's going to eat the island. He's coming to kill us all.
Unless the Surfer saves us with Thor.
Brent on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. You can also hear me on Fortnite with Friends and CB Radio. So, yay.
He's here all night, folks. All night.
Oh, God.
Lindsay.
You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LinsWard, LANSWRD. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack, NXT TakeOver 30 edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be playing Fortnite with friends. So till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.